And where is my wayward pet this evening? Ah, there you are, my obedient little thrall, doing your chores just as your mistress ordered. How delightful. Oh, such a face. Aren't you happy, my sweet? Is mobility such a burden to you? There's always room down in the basement, you know. And I must say, I've grown rather fond of tanning your backside. You do make the cutest noises. That chain around your ankle. Is it rubbing the bone there? Does it ache? Blister your poor, delicate skin. Well, whose fault is that? If you hadn't tried to run, I wouldn't have to chain you. But if you insist on acting like a misbehaving pup, then I will gladly treat you as such. Still, I hate to see my property damaged, unless it's by my hand. Come here, then. You may set the broom aside, yes. Let me see it. Go to the washroom. Under the sink, you will find some gauze and ointment. Bring it here to me, so I may tend to your wound. Sit there now. This will sting, but it will feel better soon after. I do not know why you continue to resist. Was your life in the village so much better than your life is here with me? I did not tell you to speak. You humans, you live such short and brutal lives, toiling in factories, tearing each other apart in battle, starving to death in the streets. You do not seem to understand. Your existence here is a privilege. One you have yet to truly earn. All those stupid mortal whims and worries no longer matter. Your life outside of these walls no longer exists. Your only concern is your mistress, what she has commanded of you, and how you can best obey her. Unlike others of my kind, I do not kill my property. I do not torture you for sadistic pleasure. I do not drain you to the brink of death, only to bring you back again and again. No, I am not that kind of monster. Not that kind. Don't you see? You're lucky. Your life is narrowed down to a single point of focus. How simple. How easy. And all I ask in return is their loyalty and their obedience. Why is that so maddeningly difficult? I apologize. I have let my emotions get the better of me. How does that feel? I did not wrap it too tightly. Good. No, you can finish your cleaning later. I have brought some food down from the village and thought that we may sit together. My friend will be joining us later, yes? Carmelina had some business to attend to. She is always up to something, that one. Set the table. I procured some things for you. Bread, cheese, fruit. I thought you might be peckish after a night spent cleaning. You are welcome. What will I be having? Merely the pleasure of your company. And while I have not eaten solid food in centuries, there is something about the ritual of mealtimes that I still find very enjoyable. Is that a smile I see? I take it the meal is agreeable. I'm pleased. I do not mean to stare. I enjoy watching you eat. It is not something I witness too often in the small rituals of human existence. Not since the one before you. My life as a human, I do think about it on occasion, but that was many lifetimes ago. My existence now is a universe apart. Yes, I was, though I would hardly say I was important to my lineage. I have not been that girl for ages. I doubt you would even recognize her. Oh, yes, I do remember that. Your rebirth is not something to be forgotten, pet. It is a momentous event, one that will remain with me until my final days. You are quite the curious pet, and I am feeling generous, so I will elaborate. I can't remember the last time I told anyone about my years of living. To be honest, most people do not care to ask. It can be a sensitive subject for my kind. The memories of being human, of being weak, impotent. It can be shameful. Not to me, however. I look back on my time as mortal and ruminate on exactly how far I have come. The strength that I have gained through my many years on this earth cannot be undone through mere mention of my past. To forget where you come from, you make yourself vulnerable. I was vulnerable once. Never again. It was dirty in the village I was raised in, and the people. As a girl, I was kept from it mostly. Kept on the estate, tended by servants with all the trappings afforded by my lineage. As I grew, I was educated in embroidery, music, religion, and expected to marry a man suitable to my station in life. Oh, but I did. His name was James. He could be cold, distant at times, but still, he held my adoration. As much as I knew of love then, I was sure I felt that for him. One night, my husband brought home a guest, a visiting dignitary with whom he wished to discuss business and other matters not suited for the lady of the house. We barely spoke before they retired to the study. How very ordinary he seemed. Yet, he was to be the arbiter of my existence and the genesis of my future. I don't know what led me to enter the study that night. Every instance prior, I had sat, waited, played the part of the dutiful wife and homemaker, but that evening, something was different. Nothing like precognition, no. The tension in the air, though, it was palpable. I sought James's presence like a frightened child would seek their parent when fleeing from some unknown threat. In doing so, I walked directly into it. He was draining him when I entered. It barely registered at first, the scene unfolding before me. I had only known of violence through academics. It existed to me as an idea, concept. A story told in a dark night to scare wayward children. Yet here he was, my consort, crumpled on the ground before me. Pale as milk, his skin waxy and splotched with blood. Lacerated, eyes wide and unseeing. Even as I struggled to accept it, it was evident to me that he was gone. He was no longer James. He had left, and in his stead was this corpse. I drew in breath to scream, and he was on me. The dignitary, if he ever was, the stranger, the murderer. Yes, I am a hypocrite. I see that. And yet, his hands were around my neck, silencing me. I could feel his eyes on me, studying me. Deciding my fate. I was certain I would die there, in an undignified heap, just like my husband before me. And yet the longer I held his gaze, the less concerned I became. I felt myself sinking down, down into his eyes. It was like slipping into a warm bath. After a long day, and on until I did not care at all, and the body at my feet held no more significance to me than the rug lying beneath it. I do not know how long I stayed in his thrall. All I remember is what came next, the awakening. Opening my eyes for the first time as vampire. What was it like? Liberating. As if I had been unburdened. Freed from a cage I never knew held me prisoner. Until that moment. And yet, over the years, I have found myself wanting. The fragility of human life is somehow enticing to behold. Caring for a pet allows me to keep some kind of connection to my mortal life, however tenuous. Isn't that funny? Would a lion become a lamb? No, never. It is a trifle, something to keep me entertained for this piece of eternity. And you? Are you entertained, my pet? Come close, my dear. There is more. I see that knife in your sleeve, the one you tucked away when I was lost in thought. You are never so curious, silly thing, as if I wouldn't realize. Put it on the table now, lest I break your arm for your insolence. Oh, I should break it anyway. Oh, I really should. But I will tell you something, pet. I like you. Your energy, your stubbornness. It's rather adorable. That knife would do nothing to help you. Don't you know? Didn't they teach you how to hunt a demon down in the village? You have much to learn. But I'm tired of talking. And I'm sure you're tired of hearing me. And my throat is rather parched. Just enough to weaken you, remind you of your place. And if you needed a more tangible reminder, just reach down. Ah, Carmelina, you have returned finally. I'm afraid there's no leftovers. I drank my fill tonight.
Non mi importa. Contessa, we must speak away from mortal ears.
Of course. Pet, stay here. Clean up when you're finished. I will be counting the silverware.
Seguimi. We have much to discuss.